Hey everyone, my name's Cronus. Welcome to this episode of the Musicians Insider. And today we've got James Dunbar on the line. Why don't you tell us about yourself and let us know and our audience know what it is you do in the industry and how we can talk about it a little.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Aaron. Nice to be here. I'm a producer and composer from Toronto. I initially started as a jazz pianist playing here in Toronto, as a solo pianist in the live jazz scene. And now I've taken my grandparents, then parents, production and publishing house out of dormancy, and now I have a entertainment division of that. We're releasing a lot of music. So
That's cool. So
that's me in a nutshell.
you reopened something that was already there in the family and were able to use it. I had to start mine from scratch, so I know how much that was. Man. So your main instrument is piano?
So I started playing very, very young. I had a residency at the Jazz Bistro here in Toronto for about 5 years. And so that was weekly, and I started when I was 11. It was like 11 to 16, I was cooking up.
When did you start recording?
I made two albums that were like seven song EPs in elementary school, which is ridiculous.
Did you
But I
release
have
them?
them. Yeah, they're totally, yeah, I printed them on disc. It was through a whole studio, and we were fortunate to know some people that had one around and stuff.
That's
And so
awesome.
that was a yeah, like a foyer into it. But I always liked computers too. I always liked making things in the computer, and the better I got at piano, the more I didn't rely on samples, and I could do more in the softwares.
I was always fascinated by, like, when I was younger, when the sampling keyboard started to come out in the stores. I'm older than you, but when we were younger, the technology wasn't there yet. So we'd go to the mall and try to find the ones that you could talk into and then press the buttons on them.
For sure, for sure.
And then Ferris Bueller's Day Off came out and he had the piano in the movie. That's how old we are. But
For
yeah.
sure.
So what would you like to see yourself doing? What's your goal?
Well, there's one primary goal in mind that is to just be prolific, have a discography of creations out there that are, from conception to execution, like actually projects done, released, and diversified. And so, I think like we're trying to do about 300 new songs in the next 2 years, but we're about 9 months ahead of schedule. And so, I'm fighting like tooth and nail, project to project,
And when you
essentially.
say 300, that's just like the come at all the stuff added up together, it
Yeah,
reaches
that's
about 300 songs.
exactly, because I do production work, so I'll produce with artists, but then I'll also do executive production work, which is kind of just more hassling people, just calling everyone up and making sure
Executive
it's
ha chief hassling officer. So
make sure everyone's
how
happy.
many when you say we, how many people are you working with? Do you have a team?
So this is my company. It's the corporation's th this thing that's been in my family for a while because they were documentarians. But the music division, which is Binnis, which is records, I totally am the sole proprietor of that, aside from the company, obviously the corporation.
So Binnis,
But
Binnis Records,
correct, yeah, in all caps, yeah.
how many artists are on the label or how many releases have you
So
had?
we've done 53 releases so far, and one fellow that we did some music with, Bailey Jordan Neal, was a is a is a guy out from Newfoundland. He does folk pop music, and so
Yeah, I
I
listened to his
saw
stuff.
him. Yeah, oh, it's lovely. It's lovely stuff. We did that out in Nashville with John Kapek, who just won the he was just inducted in the Songwriters Hall of Fame 2023.
For
So
what?
for songwriting, like for being a songwriter,
Was there any
it
hits?
was him and Mark Jordan, because they were writing partners. And so he wrote "Rhythm of My Heart," and he wrote a bunch of shit for Cher, and
Okay.
he just worked on Bonnie Raitt's newest album. So
That's
it
great.
was a trip to get out there and hang out.
Nashville's
And he
cool,
signed.
and people think it's country all there, but it's not all country.
For sure. And there's niches. There's the pop guys for sure, and the folk dudes. But it's
Have you
such
done
a cool blend.
the West Coast yet?
I was just out in California for a bit too. I was working with a buddy of mine named Rye Pazurik, and we were doing. It's funny because I went out there to Point Reyes, which is like rural San Francisco kind of thing. And we did, we kind of worked where I had a Hammond B3, like a one-of-one organ, and then he had a drum set, and we just mic'd the place to hell and just did like an hour-long like acid jazz mixtape kind of thing.
Did you have a Leslie?
Yeah, we had like a literal actual like a rotary cabinet.
You had the Leslie like cabinet. Beautiful.
A one of one, like, yeah, it had like a built-in EQ and shit. It was just mental. Yeah.
That's fun. I was gonna say, yeah, I do some NorCal a bit. I got friends out in Santa Rosa and yeah, we do the Burning Man thing. Well, that's cool. Yeah. So what's coming out next?
Well, I'm working with this guy from Dublin right now named P.exe is his rapper name. And he is super fire. Like, he's from Dublin. He does a lot of work in Paris and London. And he's here for a bit. And
is
so
he here for March 17th?
He should be, yeah.
That's like a big day in Canada really? For everyone in Ireland.
Really?
St. Patrick's Day?
St. Patrick's Day. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'll be here for sure.
It's like 10 days away.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Yeah. Yeah, so he's excellent. And I'm working with him. We're going to drop something this month for sure. And then like an album. Couple albums and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's very cool. So for my listeners out here, like, what would you like to tell them? Maybe a bit of I'm always looking for some advice of how to get started in doing things like that. Mm-hmm. But also, like, if they want to work with you or if you're looking for artists, what do they want to know mm-hmm. about you?
Well, I'm a systems thinker. That's kind of first and foremost. You know, I think if you build the right systems, everything gets easier. I can do much more. And so I work with folks, if they can sit down, we'll have a meeting. I'll listen to anyone, you know, I'll hear anyone out. But when it comes down to the meeting, it's like, can I imagine this getting from, you know, started to completed, you know, like, can it
the
go
vision.
Through a system? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Can I push this along from 0 to 100 and then it's done and you're on to the next one, you know? And so that's kind of main thing that I think about. Yeah.
Now, is there room in that world then for artists who like to use the same producers and grow as they go with you? Like, do you have people that you've been working with on their first record and then you work on their next record and help them sort of grow?
Absolutely. A large part of a label's job is just to make sure things go well. And so that comes down to marketing and promotion and, you know, all the different facets of it. We definitely check out how the consumer interacts. We look at those, you know, those portals and we kind of make them appealing and stuff because it determines how well the release is. It's not just the music.
So running the label, is that a lot of work? And what kind of stuff goes into that? And if you have advice for people that want to start a label, what would you say?
So my family has been in the documentary business for a long time. Like, my grandfather made documentaries and then my mom took over and made documentaries too. As a producer, and so I've kind of taken this company out of dormancy, and in doing so, you know, I'm a subsidiary of them. I'm like, it's a corporation. I have a legal business, you know, permit, and it's under a corporation, and that corporation isn't my business. My business is a company, right? And so I don't actually know how difficult that is. You know, like, usually labels, people will just make a lot of music. And then someone like Universal or, you know, Warner or whatever will come and be like, be a subsidiary of our big corporation. And then you have a legitimate business, you know.
Are you distributed through any majors?
I distribute through DistroKid.
Everything, you know, through DistroKid?
At the moment.
I started with DistroKid when they first started and they were mm-hmm. god awful. When they first right. came out and I had a horrible time with them. And I'm sorry, but they're amazing now. But I just had the worst time with them. So now everything's changed. It seems like it's not really hard to get distributed. It used to be hard to get distribution. Now it's like anyone can get it, but how do you make waves? So what do you find is the challenges with using DistroKid, or what do you like about it?
I think it's a lot of money. The subscription rate is just a lot. Like, I know my company pays a lot to just host music on DistroKid with all the add-ons and the frills and, you know, all the whatnot.
Really? Because I remember it was $20 just to release your record for the whole year, and that was all they charged. That's how they started.
Yeah, and it's like, and it's whatever. But then there's all the add-ons, the YouTube content ID and the, you know, the Shazamable and, you know, all that stuff, the lyric find, like, and you can,
like,
actually,
if you want anything to work, you have to pay $5 extra for each piece.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I do have kind of a bone to pick with DistroKid at the moment because Napster is apparently paying artists much more than everyone else. They're paying actually about a cent to 2 cents per stream on Napster, which is now a revived streaming platform, and it's a subscription-only model.
It's gonna be interesting to see how this all plays out, right?
Right? DistroKid doesn't upload to Napster. They just don't put your music there. And so I'm like, you know, I'm thinking about it. It's a weird one. But if you have a lot of music, you're right. Paying the subscription, it actually totally is the best way to do it. If you have a massive catalog of music, if you have 200 plus tracks, you know, then yeah, you're gonna be definitely, I don't know if it's the best option, but I know in terms of just to the general public, like CD Baby, DistroKid, Bandzoogle, whatever, like it's definitely a better one. It works better if you have a lot of music out.
Interesting. Yeah, I like Bandzoogle for press kits. It's almost like people expect you to have one in
Right,
a weird
press kit.
way. It's like if you don't have one now, it's like, oh, why don't you have a press kit that's on Bandzoogle or one of the networks that people can watch how it grows in there? It's kind of weird. Spotify is a social network, right? Like people don't realize that too. Like that has playlists on it. And it's like the whole playlisting aspect is such a disaster to even think about. And all these people selling like fake playlist stuff. So what advice do you have to someone starting out that might wanna do what you're doing?
I'd say that it's always better when it's out. You know, it sounds better through Spotify. It just does. You know, don't worry about all the frills. You know, you need this mastering guy, or like your snare isn't right. Like,
Just
you
start
know,
putting
all that
music out.
time. And you know, because you'll get better. Every time you do it, you'll get better and you'll learn something to the next project,
So us
right?
older guys who've been around for a couple of years and doing band stuff, one of the problems is we get attached to our music so hard. Like my album that came out in 2022, I ended up doing a double release because it was supposed to come out in 2020, but the pandemic just screwed it all up. And now I'm like, I'm going to the studio tomorrow. We're gonna start working on stuff. I want to start releasing a song every 3 months and just keep going and keep going. And then after 10 of them are out, you put an EP or a full album of that into the release. But then it's like, don't worry about the stuff you did 4 years ago that you're still crying about, even though it's like the video we have, you know? It's like,
I think it's like I've heard it be called demo-itis
well,
before.
no. So demoitis
You
to me is
know,
when you
demo,
listen to
it's
it
like,
so much you like it.
well, yeah, I mean,
Like
but
something
you
that may
hold
not be
on to it.
good.
Like, that's kind of a, it's kind of like, I know folks that like you'll get in their car and they'll just be bumping their music and it's good and it's not out. And then they're demo-itis. They're like, man, I love this. This is awesome to listen to. And they forget that it feels better in reflection. It feels better knowing that it's been out and it's like you did the work on that and
Well, it's
now it's
still
its own
being
life.
changed. It's still a demo until you release it, right? Like I do a lot of pre-production in the car. Like I always get from the studio the instrumentals and I'll drive around. Like I used to live in LA, so I drive everywhere. So all you do is produce in the car. Things are a bit different now in Canada. Interesting. So what else you got going on? Tell me something coming up.
Okay, well, I got a super dope album coming out. I'm gonna be honest. Last album I dropped was the Expedition tape, and it was like a 12 track project plus this 13th continuous mix of it all, and it's all in the box. It was like Expedition tape. Done. It was an extremely excellent experience for me. And so this new one is gonna be amazing. I think it's just gonna be better than ever,
Is
you
it
know?
unknown people? People that are unknown, or who are we working with?
No, it's no one else. It's simply me
And what are you calling
releasing
it?
another album. This is the first time I'm actually gonna be dropping the name anywhere. Some Cronus TV insider
Love
scoop.
it.
And this new album will be called Ichiban in all capitals.
How do you spell it?
Ichiban in all capitals. Ichiban. And Ichiban's the Japanese word for, you may have seen it on like Sapporo Ichiban, and stuff like that, noodles. And it's the Japanese word for the best. It's number one, the very best.
I like the confidence. When do you plan on
It's just
dropping
a
that?
cool album. Yeah, it's a, It's in a couple months, I think. I think in 2 to 3 months, maybe two.
Is it done?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. I like that you're sitting on it and figuring out the plan.
I mean, we have some stuff between now and then. Bailey's coming back in May to do his new album, which is going to be excellent. Those last two tracks, Theft and the Truth, are going to be on it. And that's super dope. That's
How
what
many,
we're,
sorry,
pardon?
interrupt you. How
How
many
many
tracks
songs
do
is
you
it going to be?
do when you do a full album?
So this one's going to be eight with Bailey. Bailey's going to do six new ones. He's coming back in May to do them. And then two that have already been done in Nashville. And then my album, it's going to be, Ichiban's going to be seven. And then there'll be a deluxe version with another seven on that.
Okay, so my question for you is this, for all songwriters out there, and myself included, because this is kind of what I'm going through. I've got six or seven songs right now that I'm doing, and I'm going to do them kind of rough first, and then bounce them off of some producers in the industry and friends of mine, and say,
Great
which
idea.
ones of these do you guys like the most? And then I'm going to focus on, okay, that's the one I'm going to do first. And then I'm going to do the same thing again, and kind of like, all right, of all the ones I've got, which one should I do next? Kind of to my crew of people that listen to my stuff and just sort of get an idea of, like, not for every song, but like, bounce some of it off other people a bit, like, because I know that a lot of bands will do like 20 songs and they're doing an album and they pick the best 10
Right.
if you
Yeah,
have
it's
the
a great
money.
idea.
So how do you go about whittling down, like, are you just doing six songs and they're all expected to be good, or are you picking that six out of a pool of other songs, or are you just making them all really good, like, you know what I'm saying?
I am redacting, and redaction is a mass part of my workflow. Almost everything. Yeah, like it's definitely like I'm putting a lot out there, even in Logic. Like I'll put a lot of data out there and then just kind of whittle it down, like you say. And that's very much what I did. The Cali mix, the tracks that I did in California last March. A lot of that's going to be on the new projects, and it's not going to be every track, but it's going to be a bunch of them that are going to be superimposed into another new thing, you know,
What I found
in a
was
broader context.
when I was doing, I was in a band called Thermocline way back in the day, like in Ottawa. And what we did was we pre-produced like the album. We just go to the rehearsal space and play all the songs. We started recording it off the floor. Then we went in the studio and recorded all the tracks. And then, like, out of nowhere, one of the songs was a single that we didn't expect. You
Right,
know,
you're
like,
listening back to it and you're like,
well,
oh
the
man, that's
producer
good to
was
go.
like, well, actually, it was Jay Rustin. He's doing like Scott Ian, and he just did that Dave
Oh,
Grohl song the other day. But
cool.
he was the guy, and he's amazing. And he was just like, Vacant Lot is the single, I think. Like, we just it was the one that kind of we ended up getting a Much Music video grant for it. Back when there was videos and video grants to apply for. Do you use grants, the grant system at all in Ontario, Canada?
Yeah, I do. I got a grant when I was super young, when I was about 12. Kellogg's Canada gave me a grant for 20 grand. And just it was just in like some sweepstakes. I think it's a tax write-off, right? But like they were just there, they needed to endorse the arts for a bit. And so they did a sweepstake in Canada, and I was just jamming out on the piano. So gave me a bunch of money. And nowadays, yeah, you know, I was just in shout out Canadian Music
DIT?
Week and the
Oh, okay.
DIT community. But yeah, shout DIT for sure.
Yeah, I met you at
Because
DIT, so we got to shout
yeah,
that out.
for
I
sure,
had
for
Daryl
sure.
on
Dale.
here. That's how I met him,
I
and
saw it. I watched the whole thing. It was excellent.
they're doing great.
Yeah, they're just dude's superb. But yeah, so I was in the grant session recently. It was like the grant workshop kind of thing that they had on there.
Yeah, I saw that.
And the lady said something about how they don't ever do grants on recoup. They'll never give you a grant on a recoupment from what money you've spent, right? You can't get a grant in retrospect, I believe she might have said. And I don't know. I don't know about all that. You know,
You
I
save your
haven't.
receipts.
I haven't gotten a grant in retrospect, like from a past project, but I'm definitely gonna try. I'm definitely de trying that and seeing if that's a thing. Seeing if
Cool.
labels can do it or if artists can do it, like, yeah, because I don't think that's true. I think you definitely could
Well,
drop a bunch of money, company money, and then get it back in grants
I think
with
it's
proof of
interesting to
concept.
see at what phase in your career you should start applying for grants, and a lot of it's like really early on, and then, you know, a lot of it you're not really eligible yet. You know, you got to be at the
Right,
level
right.
of the grant of
Yeah.
SoCan or whatever. So it's like
Yeah.
it's just interesting
Well,
to
and
see who's in.
Canada's a bit odd specifically for that, right? It's
But
like,
U.S. doesn't have any money for artists.
oh, okay. Fair
So
enough.
like I lived in the States and I'm like I get money from Factor, right? Foundation to
Yeah,
assist
right.
Canadian talent on
Yeah, of
recordings. I've
course.
gotten grants
Of
from them
course.
before. We got a VideoFact grant from Much Music, which doesn't exist
Yeah, that's right. That's like
anymore.
Canadian too, right? It's,
So
yeah.
there's that. But I like the fact that some of the guys are going down to South by Southwest. Have you been to that?
I haven't. I haven't.
It's a
No,
bit
I've just.
expensive to go to Austin, but it's definitely a good
Yeah.
one. And NAMM is great. I go to that one in Anaheim every year. I haven't
Yeah, Nam.
been lately because of the stupid pandemic stuff, but I usually would go every
Right.
year for the past decade.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I've been into music so much longer than I've been into the music industry. And I'm noticing
Gotcha.
that, you know, my foyer into it was largely like Canadian Music Week and that stuff. It was working with Bailey, who was had a number of showcases there, and so I was part of his team and went with him and stuff. Mostly it was the jazz scene before that. It's mostly been like an evolution into producing where I found myself actually having to, you know, like keep a database, get the Rolodex, you know, like start actually building connections in the music industry to do stuff,
Is
you
there
know.
anything that you're surprised that you've learned that you didn't think was the case now that you've learned more?
Yeah, I didn't know musicians sometimes weren't very successful. I'm gonna be honest with you. I think growing up, I was always killer, and so I always made a decent amount of money, and you know was applauded for my efforts, and everyone I knew, all the older people that I knew that were in the arts, were all quite successful composers and scorers and stuff like that, and so I just didn't really have that lens on musicianship and the arts, but then it was only when I went started going out to, you know, be in more communities and cultural spaces that I was like, oh shit, some people actually like they only know broke musicians. Like, you know, it's a totally different lens for them.
And some
Yeah.
people don't aim high enough and they end up aiming low and producing low. And it's like, why? Why are you doing that? Why don't
Yeah.
you're so much better than what you realize. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a scale thing. Like, I feel like everything's just in scalability. Like, you're still, it's Ed Sheeran, for instance, excellent performer, guy on a stage, loop pedal and guitar. That is the same concept, whether you're in a small space or a super large space, you know, give or take some technical stuff. And so that's just kind of a scalability thing of if you're
Yeah.
selling 10 tickets or 10,000, you know, and people just kind of get, they sift through to what their comfortability is at, you know, where they're trying to get to. So I don't really have that reflection a lot of like, why aren't you in this echelon, you know, in my mind?
What
Because
would
I'm like, well,
you, is there any things that would make you feel super successful that you like achievements you're trying to go for, or any major like not necessarily a Grammy, but like something like
sure. I mean, you know, shout out the Polaris Awards because that's a super cool one. I'd probably go for one of those if I'm still doing creative albums for sure. And this is kind of like a midterm. I'm not going to be like 50 going for one, I don't think. It'd be more so like in the next couple projects. That's what I'm looking for. And then I don't know, like I think just
Do you want a
being
tour?
really creative. No, not a tour. Yeah, just having super freedom to create stuff that I'm really proud of, being
So you
able
want to
to look
start
back
other
at stuff. I mean, like,
artists' careers as opposed to have your own sort of solo career? Like what's more important to you, creating
yeah.
music for others or
I think it's, you know, in 5 or 6 years, I definitely could be thinking about designing spaces or, you know, designing fashion and clothes, or really who knows what. You know, I just kind of feel like I have this, I really like to create stuff. I really enjoy creation and flow state and all of that. And I've just been lucky enough to have a lot of piano lessons, you know? And so I know the piano's a medium. It's a good bridge to get me to create stuff.
it's a good starting instrument for the producers to have, because I play piano
Yeah.
too. I played when I was like
Yeah.
four till I was like 10,
Yeah.
and I picked up the guitar. So
Yeah, and
interesting.
my dad's quite a good drummer. He always has been for my whole life. And so I grew up a lot playing with him. you know, being very young, and he's on the drums, and I'm playing the piano to it. So, yeah.
Well, so in the current, the next little bit, anything happening in the next immediacy? What's the newest next thing you're doing that we'd want to know about, or you want to let our viewers know about?
Okay.
Or what's your website?
Yeah, right. Well, so you everyone can check out my my channels and stuff. My Instagram's James Dunbar Piano.
Put it right down here.
Yeah, right, for sure. And you can check out Binnis. I got a playlist right now, CO Binnis, care of, and it's that playlist will be on Deezer and Spotify and whatnot, and that's just the current tracks. That's how many there are right now that are out through us. And I'm kind of always arranging them in cool ways and stuff. So,
Very
yeah.
cool.
But
Well, right
yes,
on.
the immediacy is just like, you know, keep on living, keep on having fun, keep
Well, I
checking out
basically meant,
Daryl's.
is there
Yeah,
any
he.
performances coming up that are happening with your artists or anything coming up that you could tell us about?
Bailey's doing steady touring in Newfoundland right now. He's back in Corner Brook, where he's from, and he's just doing tons of shows out there, Marble Mountain and whatnot.
That's cool.
And Vicente, from Chile, we just dropped his project. That's a 5-song, totally Spanish EP, which is super nice. I'm really excited to keep on a look for this PPEXE rap Dublin rap track that's just gonna be just totally new world music, you know.
Very cool. It's interesting that you're not into the like, you don't seem to care about like the flashiness and the hoopla of the music industry. You just want to do the music. I like that about you. So that's cool.
Well, yeah, like, you know, I think you talked about keep your receipts, and it's like, you know, I like the receipts. I like the that I get st I literally make assets. Like, I'm fortunate enough to be able to just create assets that I own then, and that are just out there, and that's so powerful. So I just
Well,
want to keep doing that while I can,
you're
you
doing
know.
it every day with your social media too, right? Content.
Absolutely.
You're a content creator. But
Absolutely.
you're just focused on the vis audio part of the world. Well, that's really cool, man. I'm glad we got to connect on DIT. It's a great community in Toronto. That's what we were talking about, the Do It Together community. Daryl's on a few of my episodes here. But I'm really glad to have you on today. I think that's we'll probably wrap it up. It's pretty much all I really wanted to ask you about and just hear what you got going on. And you know, it'd
Sure.
be interesting to have you back, you know, maybe maybe a year or so and see what you've been doing. So
Yeah, for sure.
and we'll probably catch you at a show in the city in Toronto because we're in the same area. Maybe something. Let me know if you have any artists performing or anything and we'll come check it out.
That's an excellent idea.
I like that. Well,
Excellent
thank you so
stuff.
much for coming on my podcast today. I'm
Yeah.
Cronus, and this has been the Musicians Insider. And today we've had James Dunbar. Do you have any final words?
Thank you everybody for listening. Shout out Aaron and his excellent podcast. And yeah, looking forward to it. See you guys.
Oh, thanks, man. All right, I'm Cronus, and this has been the Musicians Insider. We'll see you soon.